Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, part two of our interview with the happiest mayor in the world, Oscar Goodman of Las Vegas. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, the mayor of Carson City, Bob Kroll, Steve Robinson, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As a mom, I know one-size-fits-all clothes don't fit, aren't comfortable, and are seldom a bargain. So why does Harry Reid want to force one-size-fits-all government health care on us? Harry Reid thinks Washington knows best, but I think we the people know best. Harry Reid's big government health care plan will raise taxes, put a bureaucrat between you and your doctor, weaken Medicare, kill jobs, push us further into debt. I'm Sue Loudon, and I approve this message because government-run health care is wrong.
Championship courses and life's distractions fading away.
Join the area's best locals program, the Talon Club at Red Hawk.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans. Generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year. Provided nearly $700 million to help our schools. And built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to continue our conversation with the mayor of Las Vegas, Oscar Goodman. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Great being here.
I wanted to talk just briefly about the Mob Museum, which we referred to yesterday. You got a lot of grief from that, from a lot of people.
I don't get any grief. I keep on saying it. I got critics and I get grief. I do what I want to do.
I'm not saying that you don't what you want to do. You're the mayor. You have fun. But you do get criticized occasionally. I thought it was a genius move to get Ellen Knowlton, former head of the FBI, to head this thing
up. That's pretty cool. I was getting some heat, no question about it. And as a matter of fact, I referred to it after I got so much heat. I said, Mob Museum? What are you talking about, Mob Museum? It's going to be a mop museum. and I mean, that's how far they had driven me into a corner. And then it dawned on me that I could take all the heat off of me by calling upon a friend who was the former agent in charge of the FBI here, Ellen Knowlton. And I asked Ellen whether she would be the chairman of the board. And surprisingly, she said she would be as long as it was legit, as long as we were going to have the whole picture shown, the law enforcement and their presence in Las Vegas and the mob's presence in Las Vegas. And she's taken like a duck to water. She went right in and she went back to the FBI. And we're going to have memorabilia on a revolving basis out of the FBI laboratory and buildings back in D.C. So she's been terrific, and she's very committed to it. And it's going to be a world-class museum. The folks who did the Spy Museum in Washington, D.C., and the Rock and Roll Museum in Cleveland, they are our curators, in effect. They're the ones who are designing the program. Very excited about that, and we're going to be opening up about a year from now. It's going to be very cool.
Let's change topics to a little bit more serious subject here. Right now, you're heading into negotiations on the next budget, and there's 171 jobs on the line in the city. Unless the workers agree to salary cuts of 8%, there's a $70 million shortfall.
Right.
Where do you think this is heading? You're the ultimate negotiator.
Basically, the council has to make the ultimate decision. We'll have a presentation where a budget will be presented to us, and it's a balanced budget, but that budget has within it the 171 terminations of city employees, which nobody wants to see, and that translates, of course, into a reduction of services, because the only thing the city does is provide services to our constituents. That's the purpose for government, as far as local government is concerned. So we have put out a request It's not an ultimatum, because we could pass this budget and see the carnage that will take place as a result of it. We've made a request of...
In a way, it is an ultimatum.
Well, it's an ultimatum. It's a truthful, it's a factual statement.
Why do you think the unions do not understand?
Well, I don't think they believe
the carnage
it. They don't believe it.
In the public sector, I mean the private sector.
I don't think they believe it. I don't think they believe that we may close whole programs down, that we may privatize various departments to their exclusion. They're not thinking ahead to next year, when the same people are saying no to what we're requesting. And basically our request, I think, is a reasonable request. Everybody's done pretty good working for the city of Las Vegas over the years, at least since I've been there. And basically we're asking them to go flat, which means no COLAs, no merit increases, no steps, that kind of thing, plus an 8% cut across the board. Now, I mean across the board. That doesn't mean that just I'm taking an 8% cut, nor my staff or one of the other city employees. Everybody has to do it, because I'm not going to penalize one at the exclusion of all. So we'll see what happens. I believe in altruism. Maybe I'm too idealistic. It's amazing I could even think that way after being in politics for almost 11 years, that I still believe that the people will do the right thing. And we'll see. We'll see whether they'll do it. I hear that they're grumbling that they won't do it. And if that happens, then 171 people are out. And then we'll start really paring down even more and talk about bringing in private sector to do public sector jobs.
Do you think that that the public sector employees realize just how bad it is that if they lose their job in the public sector, there is no private sector jobs?
I understand that, and we don't want anyone to lose their jobs. We want to create jobs. We had a survey where 72% of our constituents said they want the city to create jobs, so it's almost a dichotomy where we're talking about laying off 171 to create unemployment, and yet we're being asked to create jobs. But we've reached a point where the income does not rise to meet the expenses, and that's when you have to really shore back. And as I said, nobody saw this coming, but we were making preparations for something like this, in the sense that we've laid off people in the past. We haven't replaced their positions when people left City Hall. So we've been pretty astute as far as and responsible as far as the budget is concerned. But now we don't have any choice, because, as you know, the city is a creature of the state. And we rely on the consolidated tax, which is a mixture of sales tax and some other real property transfer tax and the like, in order to pay our employees to provide the services. That's been going down on a double-digit basis for almost 2.5 years now. So if it doesn't come to us, we can't pay. That's called bankruptcy, and it ain't going to happen on my watch.
Jane Ann Morrison wrote a column the other day about firefighters, and there was one instance that she referred to from a close friend where she felt that there was some intimidation coming from the firefighters towards the public. Have you heard more about this kind of thing?
I didn't read the article that way. Somebody brought it to my attention. Basically, I think she was saying that a firefighter may be on public time in uniform with a truck, was out gaining signatures in support of a petition saying that the firefighter shouldn't have to give the 8%. I'm not sure that's intimidation. It's certainly wrong. I mean, that's not the kind of activity that's supposed to take place when you're supposed to be fighting fires or you're supposed to be saving people's lives as an EMT. But I don't think there was an allegation of intimidation.
Yeah, the headline read a little bit differently.
Well, I can't help these stupid reporters and editors.
I don't think you want to take on Jane Ann.
Oh, well, don't worry about Jane Ann. Jane Ann and myself go back a long, long way. I knew her before her name was Jane Ann.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Mary Goodman when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I'm attorney Marilyn York. We only seek men as clients. If you are a man burdened by divorce, please visit our website at www.marilynyork.net to learn more about your rights. We are Reno's largest exclusive divorce and family law firm.
High-tech companies demand perfect world amenities. They require clean, reliable power, state-of-the-art fiber optic communications, and clean water sources. In a perfect world, companies would have immediate access to rail and interstate freeways. There would be four-lane expressways that shorten shipping times and provide convenient commute routes for valued employees. Well, the future is now, and it's here. Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and we protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mayor Goodman of Las Vegas. Larry Brown, County Commissioner.
Right.
Thinking about maybe running for mayor.
I think that there were some questions of Larry, and there are a lot of people who are thinking about running for mayor. I've got a city council, I think, to a person, they're thinking about running for mayor, which is a good thing. I mean, the more people who are interested, the better the election will be, of course, because the people will have a wider choice. Larry's a good guy. My council are good people, so that's a group. I think there are a lot of lawyers who may be advertising more than usual.
So you're not doing any endorsing this early?
No, I certainly wouldn't do that. I was with Larry on Saturday. I went to a wonderful softball complex that we have here. There were 700 young ladies who were playing softball, and he was basically the father of the project, although it happened under my mayorship. And the public was just so happy to see the both of us out there, and he's a good fella. But I've got a lot of good people in my council who are good fellows and a good lady.
Nobody knows more about public relations than you do. You have just been extraordinary in your time as mayor, representing the city of Las Vegas and Las Vegas in general. You look at Senator Reid and his poll numbers. What advice would you give to Senator Reid to turn things around for him?
I believe that the public is able to tell when somebody's a phony. And if somebody pretends to be something that they're not, it's like a jury. They'll see right through it in a New York second. So I think the senator has to live within himself. I think that he just has to tell people what he's done for Nevada. It amazes me because I hear a lot of criticism of him down here, but when I get on a conference call or I meet with the other mayors around the state, they are very high on the kind of projects that he's endorsed on their behalf. So I think he has to keep on being himself. I think he'd make a mistake if he tries to change course in midstream.
There's a million people have come to Las Vegas since he last had a competitive election.
Yes.
So really, a lot of what those people see, because Senator Reid has not been able to spend a lot of time in the state over the last few years, all they see is him on television, and that's a very partisan view. How does he break that mold?
Maybe you don't break the mold. Maybe you compare yourself to who your opponents are. I've never done that. I was lucky. In my three races, I never mentioned my opponent's name. I only talked about myself, which you could believe is true.
Well, you just had such narrow margins in the last couple of elections.
That's all right. It's okay. Everybody has to do it their own way. I can't tell Harry Reid what to do, but you have to be out there. I'm not sure that the ads are doing him much good at this point in time. He doesn't seem to be gaining any traction or going upwards, but he's a tough guy. Don't let his quiet demeanor fool you. When it comes down to taking off the gloves and duking it out, he's a very worthy opponent.
He'll be on the program next week.
Oh, good.
Let's talk about your dalliance with Mayor Cashel, another very popular mayor, and the prospect of you guys actually running for governor and lieutenant governor. It didn't work out.
Well,
but what would that have been?
Well, I love Bob Cashel. I think he tells it the way it is, too, and I get a kick out of him, and I think he's an honest guy, and the two of us sort of hit it off when I was first elected, and we went to a meeting up in Carson City and sat next to each other and chatted, and we both saw things very similarly, and we made a pact that if we were going to run for governor and lieutenant governor, we would run as nonpartisans, try to really make a difference in the state, flip a coin as to who would be the governor, who would be the lieutenant governor candidate. And I was imploring him to do it because I think we could have made a real difference, and I would have enjoyed that. But For personal reasons and worthy personal reasons, and I could appreciate that more than anybody, he decided not to go. He could still change his mind, but I'll be left behind lagging because I did change my party to nonpartisan, and there's no way in the world I would be able to run. But he's a good fellow, I'll tell you that.
Your wife on this program a couple of years back said that she didn't think you would run for a governor because you're not a numbers guy.
Oh, I am. I'm the worst. I am absolutely, when it comes to a budget, except the city budget, I'm pretty good on the city budget. When it comes to a budget, it's not my strong suit, number one. I really like dealing with people a lot more and human issues a lot more than with figures. And she's right now, she's the numbers girl. I mean, she's dealt with a budget over the Meadow School that she founded, and she knows how to raise money and how to save money, and she's good with numbers. She likes numbers. I myself, I'd rather be out there shaking hands and kissing babies.
Let's go back to Cleveland Clinic and a potential hookup with UMC. What are your thoughts on that?
Maybe someday. Right now, they have their work cut out for them. UMC has its problems. I think the Cleveland Clinic has to go slowly. When they come out here, I don't want them to bite off more than they can chew. Right now, they're in the Ruvo Brain Institute doing a great job. They're doing their due diligence. I meet with them all the time. And they've got very, very special plans, which do not, at this point in time, include UMC. It is in our medical district. Both of them are. So someday something may happen as a result of that. But right now, I wouldn't want them to do it.
Do you see UMC as a teaching hospital?
I know that's what Jim Rogers and...
He'll be on in a couple of days.
Right, and Jim's a great guy. I know that's what he's talking about with Rory Reed. Cleveland Clinic has the Case Western Medical School back in Cleveland. It's a very special medical school.
Full of brain surgeons.
They give MD, PhDs, and they do not charge. It's all done by way of scholarship, and that would be a wonderful model. I think that... right now, for all intents and purposes, I believe UMC is a teaching institution in the sense the folks go to med school up in Reno, and then they come down here and they do their residencies and internships, and basically that's teaching them while they're getting their MD degree.
Okay, you got about 30 seconds
Good.
Left. You don't want to get away from
No.
it. What's next for Oscar Goodman? You're not going to just disappear in the background?
Well, I'll promise you one thing. I'm not going to be one of these fellas who was in politics and when he leaves starts criticizing other people who are in elected office. That's not my style. I'm a happy guy. I love being a criminal defense lawyer representing the reputed mobsters. Had a great life doing that. Was very happy. Did not have to run for the mayor's job. I love being the mayor. Loved every single second. But I'll be happy. I'll find something else to do.
Public?
Maybe. Who knows?
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing this.
It's a pleasure.
Hope to have you on sooner than this long
gap.
Yeah,
there's too much time.
All right, we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Save energy and money. Take control at NVEnergy.com.
Your car need painting after this long, rough winter? Waiting for your tax return to pay for it? Act now. Maaco has all its paint services on sale, no matter what your needs. Maaco's Ambassador Paint Service, now only $249. Better get Maaco, the collision repair shop that paints cars.
Frozen. Fresh.
What's the difference?
Don't put up with boring food. Come into Carino's and try our Chef Select menu, including our shrimp arrabbiata, starting at only $6.99. Carino's.
On the next Face to Face, a new ad says illegal immigrants are taking jobs from Americans, and it calls on the nation's leaders to take action. Are illegal immigrants making the nation's unemployment picture worse? We'll hear from both sides next, Face to Face.
A couple years ago, Les Schwab saved my 4th of July. My tire had blown out on the freeway. Luckily, the tow truck driver was able to call the manager of a Les Schwab tire center. And while I know this might not happen every day, Bruce Ward arrived and opened the store.
Hi there.
I was so impressed, especially when I found out Bruce left a family barbecue to help.
Happy 4th, Nancy.
If there's such a thing as an award for awesomeness, Boost deserves a bunch of them. I'm Nancy Schutz, and that's my Les Schwab story.
Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Are you looking for a new job? Then check out the News 4 Career Center.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Steve Robinson is here, Director of Government Affairs for R&R Partners. The Mayor of Carson City, Bob Kroll, is here.
Good day.
And Trey Abney, Director of Government Relations for the Reno Sparks Chamber of Commerce, along with Ray Hager from the Reno Gazette Journal. So, you know, we see the realities of what's going on in the state, Mr. Mayor. Clark County School District, according to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, bracing for $122.5 million in new cuts for the fiscal year that begins on July 1st. The district financial officer said we're at the point where we can do nothing but look at salary and staffing levels, unfortunately. This is really starting to hit home.
Well, it is starting to hit home. Let me tell you, you know, Carson City has been very fiscally prudent over the years, and we thought that we were going to be able to live on ending fund balances and weather out this recessionary time. That is proven to be not the case. We are in Carson City going to be cutting probably 10% of our budget by the end of March for the upcoming year, and that'll kind of position us for the next year. But that means layoffs, and I think, you know, you probably read in the local paper down there, you know, it's up to 30 people. That number may go up or down a little bit, but it's hit home, and we need local governments, you know. They can't print money. They need to be careful about how they spend their money, and we need to be proactive to position ourselves so that we're not, you know, able to continue providing services down the road. And it's tough. We get what we're given to deal with, and that's how we have to manage it. It's not an easy task, and it's just not.
Well, Steve, you know, the big economic driver in terms of economic development, it appears to me from everybody I've talked to, is that you have to have a solid education base in the state. And if we don't have that, then are we going to suffer, you know, even more by not being able to diversify the economy further?
Yeah, and I hear that said a lot, and I'm sure it's true. But I do believe the tax structure and the business-friendly climate has more to do with it than the educational side of it, and I know that's a something that is not politically correct to say anymore. But
you know what, though, I'll tell you something. You know, I spend quite a bit of time talking to economic development people, and we have lost several big deals in Northern Nevada to California. That their cost situation, and not necessarily in taxes, but in other areas like utilities, are actually better than they are in Nevada right now.
Well, but I think we've certainly gained over the last decade more from California than the other way around. Certainly the business climate in California in comparison, you know, has not matched ours. And if you look at the states that are doing well and that are really building businesses, look at Texas. They're doing quite well. Look at some of the mountain states. They're all low tax states with very little business tax.
With a $3.5 billion projected deficit, I sometimes wonder if Nevada is going to lose its reputation as a low-tax state. And when you talk about education, a big problem that I see is that there are so many, not half, but almost, it's creeping up there, so many of our students in our state live at the poverty level. And how are they going to get out of poverty if we keep cutting programs in the school district? How are we going to have a workforce that can get to college, even get to now to get into UNR or into UNLV?
I've said before that, you know, the national unemployment rate somewhere around 10%, and the normal national unemployment rate somewhere around 5. People concerned about why the national unemployment rate doesn't drop. I think there's been a fundamental reset in our economy, nationally and in Nevada, and there's just no place for people to go get jobs anymore. And to me, the way out of that is you got to either retrain or re-educate or educate people to get into a new way of making money and creating value. Otherwise, We're not going to fill that void. And with global competition coming on, if you're not ahead of the curve on how you create jobs, and to me, creating jobs is education based. I think that's the fundamental issue of what job creation. If you don't get there, you're going to be behind the eight ball. And I worry about that in my little community of Carson City. I worry very much about that. I worry because I think it's a sustainability issue for local communities. I mean, it is clearly a sustainable issue. And I understand what Steve's saying. You know, you got to be careful what you do on the tax side. But you got to be very careful that what you're doing and your quality of life and your social services are important, because I have a lot of businesses come and say, well, let's talk about your education system, or I'm going to move to Reno, or I'm going to move somewhere else where I think that the education system is better. I've got an outflow of professional people in Carson because they think that the education system in Reno is better than it is in Carson City. That happens.
Let's get Trey in here.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I think, Ray, you brought up a good point. Our school districts in this state deal with a highly transient population, English as a second language students. Yes. And that's a difficulty. I guess, and my concern is, we always talk about, well, we're 49th in per student funding, per capita funding. That doesn't tell me anything. What I want to know is, why aren't our students succeeding, and what will it take? You know, if you're going to say, okay, we need more funding, don't tell me we need more because we're 49th. Tell me, with this amount of dollars, I'm going to do this, and this is how many graduates we're going to graduate.
This is a problem I see in the statewide school district. Our students go to school 180 days a year. In China, they go over 220 days a year.
It's based on an agrarian society that we used to have that is no longer there.
Well, that's why we're falling behind in the global economy.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. Thoughtful discussion. We'll be right back on about it. Newsmakers after this timeout.
We won't insult you with phony sales at Washburn like the other guys. We keep our prices as low as possible so you get the most for your money, and we stay in business. We offer one low price for carpet, pad, and installation. Some other guys split that into three separate prices. So when you add them all together, check the bottom line. You'll see that Washburn has the lowest prices. Plus, what price can you put on the largest in-stock selection, the fastest installation, and no hidden costs? Not to mention doing things right the first time. So come to Washburn, where you'll always find first quality carpets for less.
What's in a name? At DiLoreto Homes, it's everything.
It's pride and workmanship. It's quality in every detail.
And most of all, it's who we are. Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Michael.
Right now, we're selling a limited number of paired homes starting at $192,000, while refusing to lower our standard features.
To name just a few, we include granite slab kitchen countertops, 9-foot ceilings, and on-demand tankless water heaters.
Compare and see the difference. That's DiLoreto Homes at Damani Ranch.
Hello there.
Is this where you get cash for gold?
That's right, ma'am. Rapid Cash pays you cash on the spot for your unwanted gold and diamond jewelry. And you'll love that Rapid Cash pays twice as much as mailing companies.
Cha-ching, baby.
Cha-ching, indeed. And the local friendly staff at Rapid Cash has a direct relationship with refiners, unlike many pawn shops or mailing companies.
Oh, I won't mail these anywhere.
And why would you? These are just fabulous.
Rapid Cash, your cash right now.
Why pay the difference if you can't tell the difference? Hi, I'm Trina Stevens. At Internet, we specialize in late model vehicles, most with remaining factory warranties and extended warranties available up to 100,000 miles. We carry vehicles that are like new in almost every way except the price. When you drive a new vehicle off the lot, it depreciates instantly. A quick trip to Internet could save you 30 to 40%. Give us a chance to save you thousands at Internet Auto Rent and Sales.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures.
On our next broadcast, Jim Rogers.